Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Chris. Alongside me is Brianna.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Quarantine still.
Another day of quarantine. Another 3 weeks of quarantine, I should say. What is it? Longer. 3-4 weeks for us? How you doing?
Good, good. We're bored as fuck, so.
Yeah, it gets a little long.
We are actually trying to keep ourselves, you know, very busy. It's working out pretty well. You know, just doing our thing with our child, and when she's sleeping, we're doing this. And we've been watching scary movies. We've been watching some, of course, alien movies.
What have we been watching? I don't even remember.
What was that movie that we watched? Remember, Lewis was, what up, you Lewis?
Oh, the Annihilation. I fell asleep for that. Sorry, everybody. It might be good. It might be wonderful, but I don't know.
I mean,
Was it good?
I was very open-minded to it being real, so.
Yeah, you thought it was a biography, for sure.
I mean, that's why I really don't watch those type of movies, because in my head it's just, yeah, that can happen. That, you know, potential, that, you know.
Well, of course it can happen. What was the plot of that movie anyways? I don't even know. What were they? They were like in a weird altered dimension forest. Am I butchering it? All I know is Princess Amidala was there. I don't know why. That was weird. I didn't think it was part of Disney canon, but apparently she was there.
All I have to say, I don't want to like ruin it for anybody that hasn't seen it. There's such a twist at the end. Ooh, it's like, whoa.
A twist?
And it's like, I don't know. It was kind of a beautiful, like romantic kind of weird twist.
I probably only saw the twist. I probably saw the beginning, like opening credits, and then the twist. So the twist is not a twist to me because
here's the problem with this guy. Like, he'll watch the stupid shit. Like one of my favorite movies. Like, and I don't even mind like being open and honest saying this, is Clueless. And that's, I could watch that literally every day, all day. '90s baby, like my jam. So he'll watch anything. As long, like, this is, like, the criteria, as long as I give him a scalp massage. So as long as he's getting his little scalp massage, he's going to be, like, purring like a kitten.
I'm a widow baby.
And then he ends up falling asleep because it feels good.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to stay awake for the 105th time of Clueless. I'm sorry.
It's such a great movie.
I'm sure it is.
And every time.
I've seen it. It's fine. It's a time capsule. It's fine.
Rolling with the homies.
That is a line from the movie.
Speaking of time capsules, right now with like coronavirus and all the BS that's going on, if you have all kids or if you want to do one, like there are some really cool. If you want the link, we'll send you the info for a cool time capsule to do with your kids, like how they're feeling right now and everything. Because I mean, whether you bury it in your backyard or just keep it as like a keepsake, 20 years from now when your kid looks back on it, they're going to be like, holy shit, like I was a part of that and like didn't even really realize it. So,
well, this is an unprecedented time. Like nobody's ever essentially, back in the day when there was this stuff like the Spanish flu and all that stuff, nobody just shut down everything. Like everything, like any of the countries that are seriously affected, at least, this whole quarantine is, I think it's the right thing to do. I don't think we should be euthanizing our elderly and our vulnerable, but no, it's never happened before. 100%. Nobody's ever like essentially shut down.
Because even like when I look at old pictures or when I used to talk to my grandma about like the Deep Depression, like it was after that fact. It was kind of like the Spanish flu was like the beginning and then it trickled into like the Deep Depression. And you know, that makes sense of why my grandma was so cheap and had her traits of like reusing everything and penny pinching, where we're just like, fuck, just pay the extra penny. And she would like fight over it because it was such a big deal. And I'm hoping the repercussions from this don't end up like that. But I mean, we'll have to wait and see.
And it's a bit of insanity to wrap your head. And it makes sense, obviously, from economics, but it's a bit of insanity to wrap your head around the fact that the government shutting down. And say we're in the U.S., so let's take the U.S. for example. The government shutting down essentially for what is probably going to be about a month, probably more, but around that time. The fact that the government just had to shut down for 1/12 of the year is completely throwing us into what a lot of people are calling, you know, are projecting a deep recession, possibly deeper than a recession. You know, it's going to hit, but it's crazy to think that if essentially the economy takes 1 month off, then it's going to plummet, and just how fragile we are in that.
Yeah, and at this going rate, like, it really looks like we haven't even hit our peak yet here in America. So, like, it looks like we're going, I would say, like, I hate saying this because I really want to go back to work. But I really feel like things will start being quote unquote normal, I would say, in August. I would say this is going to be going through July, you know, and I would really like to say that it's a fucking conspiracy theory. It was all fucking part of, like, following the dotted lines and, you know.
Okay, we're going to get into our subject soon, but I just want to tell everybody that we were watching to prepare, you know, we were preparing all week, but last minute preparations too. We were watching a bunch of videos, and that kind of spun you into this, like, this conspiracy of it being manufactured. I do think that, to not get into a tangent, I do think that there are governments working on biological warfare stuff, but, you know, I don't know if coronavirus is it. But the reason why you brought up that this might be a government-controlled virus is because we were actually, our topic for today is...
Not a virus.
Okay. Whatever. It's a... Whatever. Is because our topic for today, and probably another episode, if I don't fumble up my words too much, is the reptilian race.
Yeah.
So let's get into...
It's a conspiracy theory. Others say it's...
It's the gospel.
Well.
So let's get into it. So today we're going to be talking about the reptilian race. The idea that the government and throughout history, you know, people in power and people in celebrities, including Bob Hope, apparently. I don't know.
The Clintons.
So those are people in...
Barack Obama,
George Bush, there's all this stuff. The Queen of England, the Prince of Wales. I don't know who that is, but I'm assuming that all these people are either, they're hybrids, right? Isn't that the theory, that they're hybrids of a reptilian race?
It depends on what conspiracy theory you're talking about. Like, if you're just going back into like Egypt, my favorite. If you're going back into, like, if you're looking at deities from, like, India, from Egypt, from Greek mythology, from natives, like, they all kind of coincide, and there's this parallel universe where they all believe that there was some reptile deity, you know, and, you know, some of them, like the ones from India, they believe it was like an underworld.
So let's get into it. So do we want to start off with the granddaddy of them all, the kind of the people, a lot of people who believe in this reptilian race thing believe in this one, how should we phrase them, an originator? Or should we get into kind of a believer's kind of tale of where this originated? So,
well, the reason why I like to kind of start with it being like a parallel universe of, like, where cultures from all over the world, like, you know, you have India over here, you have Egypt over here, but then you have Greece over here, but then you have the natives over here, and they all believed in some kind of depiction of some extraterrestrial race that, you know, was, let's say, like a lizard, half human, half lizard looking deity. And so for me, it's like, I don't look at them as being like our ultimate, like where we came from, but I find it fascinating that all these cultures believe.
So let's get into it from a believer's chronological perspective. Like, if you believe in this, there's a few things that you can point to in the past. I don't necessarily espouse to this, but I know that people who are strong believers in this will. So you would have, throughout history, you would have way back in Jade, China, you would have dragon kings that would come. You'd have the Jin, which we've actually referred to on other podcasts, being sort of serpent-like. Sumeria had serpent-like figures. The Jin
are from where?
They're from the Islamic culture. Islamic, I don't know specifically where they sprouted from, but in Islamic culture, there was the Jin. There was in Sumeria, there was certain serpent beliefs in the Bible. If you look in the Bible, mm-hmm. there's essentially the whole thing.
But the difference in the Bible, they're not worshiping. They talk about some serpent like I think. How we take it as a Christian, we took it as like, oh, they're talking about like some kind of dinosaur type creature, you know?
No, but I think that it shows that if you, at least if, and we'll get into who believes and who doesn't believe, surprise, surprise, you're not going to be surprised. the Bible even references a serpent-like creature, which is, it shows up essentially, you know, in the Bible, God creates everything, and then mm-hmm. he creates humans, and then a serpent shows up. So very early on in a lot of mythology, there is certain deities, you know, in Hinduism, there's Naga. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of, there's signs of a...
Don't forget about the Nagas. Those are the female goddess. So it's not just the Nagas.
Yeah.
So calm down your male shit.
It's not about that.
Bring in the females.
It's too. Completely about not knowing the full text of the Hindu beliefs. But there's a lot of serpent deities, mm-hmm. half, mm-hmm. whole, that sort of thing. So why don't you get into that, you know, that whole thing of them. We're getting into...
Like culture-wise?
We're starting out, unfortunately, with the ancient alien perspective. So they clearly there were beliefs of serpent-like creatures.
So you want to start with like Egypt?
Sure. I mean, Egypt has
so crocodiles, this is like where I'm like fascinated. I started
saying crocodiles after Tiger King, everybody.
I thought that's how Clementine used to say
crocodiles. Well, the guy said crocodines or crocodiles. I don't know. Everybody watched Tiger King. They say crocodile. Gosh. The one guy says, the guy without the teeth says crocodile, weird way. And I'm trying to recite that, and I forgot it.
Anyways.
Look it up.
So, many cultures all over the world believed at one time there were reptilian humanoid deities. So, we'll start off with my favorite. Egypt. They believed in the Sobek. The Sobek, who had a head of a crocodile and similar traits, such as being aggressive, as that's how we portray crocodiles. And they were very, like, animal-like.
I hate to interrupt, but more importantly, we are the podcast with the notes. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Shut up. Anyways, he's drunk.
I have notes. She has notes.
I'm almost
there. This is episode 2 of me drinking. Man who rarely ever drank. Rarely. I mean, I drank in the past, but I gave it up for a while. But this is what quarantine has done to
India,
me. Go ahead. Sorry.
The Nagas. Females. Were known to live underground / water, the underworld. And in India, they still kind of worship this water. And they say that, like, if you're holy, like, if you are, you, like, consider yourself, like, a god in India, like, you will...
Which I
do. They will talk to you. And they will communicate with you. So they'll put their hands in the water... worship the water and hopefully get some kind of communication, like tap into that other dimension beneath the water. So I think that they're really fascinating, and I think it's interesting, again, how similar they are to the Egyptians, the Sobeks, because they are known for being half human, half serpent, but they are commonly known to have snake heads. So instead of the, you know, alligator head, they'll have a snake head. But also in the Indian culture, they are known as shapeshifters. Now, you've heard me bring that up in podcasts in the past, and like I'm so fascinated with that stuff. And so it doesn't even just stop there. So the Greeks also believe that they had the Boreas. I'm probably saying that wrong. Sorry. The cold north wind. Sometimes with they also had a serpent-like tail. So in this case, instead of the head, they had the serpent-like tail instead of feet. Sometimes, so sometimes it would.
Oh, that's a shitty end of the stick. You only get a tail.
Badass.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I would like to be human. I would like to be like mermaid status. That's like mermaid status.
Right, but you there. Only get a tail. You don't get like.
You get the little
cool claws.
Well, what if, like, let's say it was, like, a rattle. I like that little rattle at the end so I can fucking whip you with it. You know when I'm coming, motherfuckers.
They just had a tail. Boris got the shit into the stick on that one.
A very, very popular one, which is also very fascinating, is Chinese culture, known as the Dragon King. And not only was he known as, like, the Dragon King, but he was also sometimes depicted as a reptilian humanoid. So, I mean, super fascinating. And they're like, this is just like short Mad Libs of some of the cultures. Like the Mayans believed in them. Like there's so many cultures. Like you were talking about the Sumerians. Like there's so many. And that's what trips me out. Like why was there so many serpent?
So we're laying a foundation right here. We're laying the bed for what's going to come about in the late 80s. Early 90s, a homie named David Icke came about, and he exploded all these. So originally, all these ancient theories, I don't know if anybody was thinking that these were shapeshifters, aliens, anything like that. But
really quick, sorry. Interesting that you said that he came about the 1980s, because in that time frame, there were, and you can Google this shit, like this is legit. So he comes up with all his, like, quote-unquote crazy ideas about this reptilian race. But at that same time in the 1980s, there were sightings of this, like, lizard man. Like over 100 people saw him. And this is, like, going from, like Mississippi area. Like tons of people saw him.
That's just the big gator in Mississippi.
So I find it really interesting, a guy from England. But then over here in America, there's all these sightings and all over the world. Like, so, you know, and then even then when you go back to like the 1950s, like the Creature of the Black Lagoon, like total classic horror film, like inspired by natives.
Well, we can get into why, maybe what inspired the whole David Icke fascination and what inspired the resurgence of this in movies and TVs and TV and all that stuff and literature. But let's get into David Icke, kind of the forefather of this reptilian theory on hybrids and acrons, I believe. Is that what they're called, acrons?
Sure.
Sure, why not? The source of these, essentially, where it's believed this reptilian race comes from. So, David Icke. You want to tell us about David Icke?
Yeah, so he looks like...
he looks like one of my relatives.
Yes, the funny thing about it's so when we watch videos on him, we're always like, oh my gosh, that's Graham.
Yeah, I have a relative in England. He looks he's a spot on image, and I have a lot of relatives in England, so he is the archetype English inquisitor. He's that guy for sure.
So anyways, David Icke, like, he had...
Tell us. No. We're going to get into it. I don't want you to brush over unpopular, probably, for a lot of people on the podcast. I am actually a fan of soccer, as they call it, football. I don't want you to gloss over his biography.
Okay, then you can talk about that, because I give two fucks.
Yeah, you don't. In the 60s, I believe, the man played... He was not great in school, which is fine. There's a lot of brilliant people who are not great in school. But he was picked up for his football, as the Euros call it, or soccer acumen, and played for a club called Coventry City. He lasted a little bit of a spell, but injury curbed him. But he became a broadcaster in sports in at BBC. So that's where kind of he, up until the point where he made this supposed discovery
So he already was like in the limelight. He already was like really successful at the point of, yeah, him making, you know, him tapping into a different dimension and all that. So I find that really fascinating. So it's not like just like this fucking kook that came out of the fucking woodwork.
Little context, he was a broadcaster, he was a soccer player, but in 19, and then he became actually a representative for the Green Party in England, which I don't know, most of you probably know what the Green Party is, but it's kind of a, you know, an environmental thinking political party. You know, he was a spokesman for that, feeling kind of rudderless. And then he walked into a bookstore. I don't know, I'm gonna make one though. He walked into a bookstore, and did you read what happened in that bookstore?
Yeah, so he walked into the bookstore, and
this is where he lost me, maybe.
So he walked in the bookstore, and something like, and come on, okay, we've all had those feelings where you get this, we've like all been gut, in a
bookstore.
It not even just in a bookstore, anywhere, like you get that instinct, like something tells you whether it's the right thing to do or not the right thing. So you get that gut instinct to tell you. So like however you want to take it, this is the way I took it, was like that gut instinct to do something or not do something. So this instinct, you know, also like what he likes to call is like somebody from like a different dimension. Like he tapped into some kind of whatever, and they told him to go to the science section, right?
Well, pseudoscience. So he was in there, and he got this premonition, and according to him, he got essentially a person in his head telling him to walk towards the psychic book section, and he.
But it could have been like a feeling. Like I feel like when you say it like that, like, because I understand that, like. It's probably just something that just came over him, and it pushed him. Like it was magnetic. You need to go here.
I'm not just trying to discredit kind of inspiration, because a lot of people, inventions come to people in dreams and all kinds of stuff. So it's not, I'm not trying to discredit that. But he had this kind of, this voice telling him to keep walking through this bookstore until he hit the psychic section, essentially, of the bookstore. And he came across a book by Betty Shine, who was a famous British psychologist, or psychic, not psychologist, but psychic during those days, and wrote a book. And he picked up that book, and then impelled him to read it, and then it actually drove him to call this Betty Shine, and I believe I saw online that he actually saw her four times. And this is when stuff, either, if depending on if you're a believer or if you're a non-believer, stuff either he goes off the rails or he finds his way. But this is what, during those times and during his sessions with her for the four times, he starts seeing what is David Icke is most famous for at this point. So what, you know, let's talk about the theories that he came up with once he hit those sessions.
So that's when, you know, he was told, awakened, that like every president, every person that's ever in charge, whether, you know, in our system or how they do in Europe, they're all part of this reptilian elite race that like, I will admit, there are some things where I'm like I don't know if if that's accurate, but basically,
you
like,
can't undersell your argument at the outset. I mean, you gotta be full fledged David Icke or not full fledged. Here's the thing with David Icke.
No, because I don't blame him if he's going to sing some. He should have just listened to the voice in his head. Whoever, like,
listen to your heart.
Yeah, like, he didn't have to go see because I've
lyrics. Listen to your heart.
Stop while you're not ahead.
You're welcome. Man. You're welcome, world.
But I would say, like I've seen met with psychics before, and some have been like, okay, but nothing like, oh my god. I've always kind of left like, really, for real? Like, I'm not sure. So for me, I feel like, yeah, like, sometimes I feel myself like, gosh, there's something else. Like, I feel like part of my brain has been erased. Like, I want to remember things that aren't there. Like, I feel like there is a bigger picture, and whatever, like, I do feel like in some way we are controlled. I feel like we're dumbed down.
Oh, I'm completely dumbed down. Dumbed down since you were zero.
Oh my god. So I feel like, you know, but to go see a psychic, I think, yeah, they could put some weird shit in your head.
Let me ask you, tangent. Surprise. Do you believe, how much, okay, percentage game, this is our unpopular game, but what do you think the percentage of psychics that are out there, like, open signs, books out?
50-50.
You think they're half? You think half of them, yeah, are right?
I feel like true psychics, and this is just speaking on behalf, if I were one, I feel like if you are a real psychic, you don't use it to make money. And if you do use it to make money, you're using it for a very little amount of money.
But don't all of them use it to make money? Like, is there any nonprofit psychics?
I feel like there's real. There's 401c profits. I mean, you don't have to use the word psychic. You can say enlightened. Like, nah.
The ones
David that, I could say he was enlightened.
There's, you know, the ones. Aren't there the psychics that uninformed? Aren't there the psychics that find crime scene stuff, like there's people. Here's my thing. I think there are people who are much more in tune to what's happening and have some better instincts than we do. Do I believe in psychics? I don't, probably not. But do I think that there is a chance that there are a few psychics out there in the world? Sure. Are there as many psychics as have storefronts and books and all that stuff? No. Most of them are charlatans. At least 99% of them are charlatans.
And I have to agree with you on that, but I do believe that there are some. And there are even, like, I think on an episode of Ancient Aliens, there was some, like, blind lady that, like, she totally was...
Man, that bitch.
Did you remember? Did I
remember that one. Yeah. She...
Everything she said was accurate. She Mm-mm. even... Yes, she...
Here's the thing with psychics, that, and we're getting off into a complete...
This lady tangent. Was a poor, homeless, blind lady.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And she probably believed that she... I don't think... I'm not disparaging or disputing the fact that she was... She believed that she was psychic.
She said September 11th was going to happen.
But did she say...
Before it did.
September,
and she's
did she say,
blind.
Uno momento. Did she say... That the Taliban would attack a New York World Trade Center via, you know, airplane hijacking methods? Or did she say, oh, a great catastrophe?
No.
Which is a
hard
word to say when you're drinking.
No.
What did she say?
She said, like because, again, she's blind, right? So is she going to be like, yeah, this airplane. She doesn't know what the fucking airplane is. She's homeless, like, freaking... speaks a different language. Like,
yeah.
She said like a some kind of flying bird, like a flying craft. Like, she didn't say, but that's what I'm talking about, because it makes sense, because if she's blind, she can't even fathom what an airplane looks like. You know?
I get you. She might be psychic. She might be one of the few that are psychic. My issues with psychics is that, one, is that... there's a few things. There's more than a few. That is that the false psychics are muddying up the whole fucking thing, and the people who think that they talk to dead people are almost 100% charlatans. These people who fucking take advantage of people who are grieving and stuff like that. There might be some people. I'm not disputing the fact that there might be some people who actually are able to to be mediums.
Yeah, you know, that shit's
real. But 99.9% of them are fucking charlatans, and they're taking advantage.
A tangent on top of a tangent.
Yeah, we're on multi-layers. This is an inception of tangents.
Because even my mom, like, we have really
even my
good,
mom. Even
we
my
have
mom.
Really good, like, intuition. We're very intuitive.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to dispute the fact that maybe in another life we were witches or something like that. Like, because we're on this other level when it comes to people. I've always, since I was very young, been very who I connect with. Like, I'm very, I don't make friends very easy. The ones that I am friends with, I they stay with me for a really long time. But I'm very hesitant on who is close to me. You know, and it's interesting because I was raised in a Italian culture where you're like,
this is all very well, but I'm going to go get a cheeseburger. Keep talking.
Where you're, this fucking guy, I hate him. Anyways, you know, we're very warm, and you know, and it's not the fact that I'm not warm, but it's just I'm really reluctant to just trust a lot of people. So, you know, that's always been like something I said I'm probably a fucking another witch in another life. And I've always felt like, if you've listened to our podcast about like when we went to the Queen Mary and we had that like crazy experience, I definitely feel like I could tap into that other side. Like, if you guys also listen,
go ahead, I'm
to
listening.
The
for the oh listeners
God,
out there,
like
the people are not
out there, ew, and there's
watching the video.
Gross bacon coming out of that.
For people not watching the video, I am eating a Western bacon chi, the spicy version.
Nobody cares. Shut up. So, anyways, but I feel like
all you fans of Carl's Jr.'s care.
In our episode, in our episode, like where we talked about the Ouija board, like, and how like I had these reoccurring connections, and I could play with just two people, which is usually really rare. You usually have to play with at least four to really get a connection and tap into the other side.
I'm listening.
You know, so I find it interesting, and I really think that I could open that door, because I've just always been very open to it anyways, and very respectful to the other side.
I think that people getting into that, I think that people are can open more doors than they do now in terms of a perceptiveness and kind of seeing the future and stuff like that.
And for me, I would never charge anybody.
That's the thing. It's like once you... So here's the thing is one of my big things to grapple with psychics is that they... Would you imagine a world where you see stuff in the future, right? And your automatic instinct is to be like, well, let me open up a shop and charge for that. Even if you are psychic, your first instinct, maybe not your first, but your at least your second or third instinct is to, like, let's capitalize this. That smells a little fishy to me. Like, if I were, like, and I'm not calling myself a saint or something like that, but if I were, I'm nowhere near. I'm more of a... just kind of a prophet type. I want to get psychic abilities. I think that I would... my first thing to be like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm a superhero. I need to save lives. Okay, this will be my, like... this will be my alter ego. And I'll just, like... I'll report stuff to police and stuff like that. My first thought, like... instinct would be like, I'm gonna open up a shop in Glendale and kind of, you know... give old ladies readings. Like, that's not, I don't know. We're supposed to be talking about David Icke, but what happened? Who knows? I'm eating a cheeseburger.
Oh my God. Anyways, but yeah, like but that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I definitely believe it's 100% real. Like I said, like I'm super sensitive to that stuff. And I know, like I've said in prior podcasts to this, like, I can open that door, but the scary thing is once you open it, you can't close it. And that's where I'm at. Like, do I want to open up this dimension, this door, wherever it's leading to? I don't think I'm ready. If I am, like, down the line, you know, that so be it. Like, that's what is my destiny. But as of right now, I'm not ready.
And that's the thing about David Icke, is David Icke postulates that there's different dimensions, and we're going to get more into him, hopefully. We don't get into a million different tangents, but he postulates that there's different dimensions. So the idea of opening yourself up to the idea of multiple dimensions and stuff like that is a fucking scary thing. If you actually believe, I think that if you believe in David Icke's theory of the case, it's frightening. Because you're saying, that I think David Icke is generally a positive message, but I think it's also a scary message because you're saying that you're out of control. It's really saying that you're out of control.
No, I don't think David Icke is saying that. I think his message, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I will say I don't agree with him on everything. So please don't think like I'm this like huge fan and supporter of him.
You're Icke-head? You're not Icke-head?
But the one thing I will say is that like his message, like with all the reptilian and all the like extraterrestrial stuff, the meaning behind it at the end of the day is just peace. It's just like the more you love, the more you show your happiness, like getting rid of that negative energy, that's how we're going to better our lifespan. And however, like he's portraying it with the reptilian race, and you don't want to see that. At the end of the day, if you take one thing away from it, is collecting that positive energy and being a positive person, that's beautiful, regardless.
Yeah. I think that there's some, here's the thing is, David Icke, I think actually in the world of me believing and stuff like that, I think that the ancient stuff is actually a little more plausible than David Icke's theory of the case. But let's get back into David Icke. So David Icke was a member of the Green Party. He saw this shrink, not even shrink. I keep calling it like psychologist shrink, but it was a psychic.
Yeah.
And it gave him these premonitions that this Akron people were controlling the world, that the hybrids, mm-hmm.
behind the Freemasons and the Illuminati.
Everything, essentially. Like, his whole theory of the case is that these reptilian alien races are behind everything, all the power that you've ever experienced, every single facet of power and oppression over you has been from this reptilian race, essentially. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he goes that far, but he, you know, 9/11 he credits to the reptilian race.
And if you've heard me talk about like extraterrestrials on the moon, he also, which I've heard that from other conspiracy theories. So when I heard this, I was like, kind of like when we were listening to it, I was like, ha ha, because he already makes fun of me for that. So I was like, oh, look, another believer. Mm. They kind of like are watching and kind of like evaluating us like from the moon, this reptilian race. An interesting fact that they say that the reptilian race like have hazel eyes, or they have green eyes, and known to have like reddish hair. So if you're like a hybrid, like typically that's what you're gonna look like, you know, or if you have some reptilian blood in you.
Which essentially is my grandma. That explains my grandma, and she
definitely,
spoiler alert guys, she was not a reptilian. She was just a bitter old lady.
I mean, the negative, you know, that
she definitely had the
energy.
Negativity part. She had the, you know, negative energy part.
A little bit of that animal pat. Yeah, animal instinct.
So he said, so David Icke said that this, like everything you know, every power dynamic, every war, essentially has been caused by this reptilian race in function. That the people who are carrying this out are essentially hybrids. Your royal families of England, your presidents of America, it's all been carried out by this hybrid reptilian race, essentially calling up to the reptilian race, which is an alien race that's out there, the Akron people. He also and one of the things is a stumbling block to me, he said that he was the son of Godhead, who was the all-being love, loving species. So he essentially came up with the brand new religious philosophy that the reptilians are essentially equivalent of Lucifer, that they feed off a negative energy. That's how they power their fangs, their toasters, and their TVs. Over in Akron, the actual planet where this reptilian alien race lives, that's how they power, is through negative energy. Then that's kind of your Lucifer figure. But he was the son of Godhead, essentially sent as a messenger through this psychic and through this bookstore and through all these things that happened to him in the 90s, very late 80s, very early 90s that happened to him. And he called himself the son of Godhead, started wearing turquoise, because turquoise was apparently, to back up.
Heyo. I wasn't planning.
Did you plan that?
No. I was actually going to change.
That's the universe speaking to you. Is that the universe?
I mean, I swear.
Or is it the voices in your head?
I don't know. Our child. I did not plan this. So.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It is what it is.
He started wearing turquoise because he believed, one of his other beliefs is that there's multiple dimensions and a lot of our things are controlled by frequencies. Like the dimensional plane that we live on is controlled by frequencies, and the frequency of love is turquoise.
But the archons, they are 100% reptilians. So when we talk about like shapeshifting, when we talk about hybrids, like, you know, when you think about like Egypt and then Greek mythology, the Mayans, like, they also did experiments with DNA. So when you get the hybrids, don't get that confused, because there is this 100% reptilian race, and those are the ones that actually do the shapeshifting, that can make themselves look like us, where he's depicting that they were like presidents or the fucking queen of England. So
I could be the queen of England. So that's what he started after that, after the 90s, he started going out full force. Like, he's like, I am the son of Godhead. I think he cooled off on that a little bit.
Yeah, as much as, like, I, you know, respect him, like, that's one thing where I'm like, don't. Let's not say that. Because when you take it to that level, then you better be fucking, like, doing some fucking miracles, okay? Make the fucking blind see again. This man with his fucking no limb on his arm.
Show
bring
up.
His arm back. Yeah. Bring somebody back from the dead. You know what I mean?
Come back.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, so I'm kind of like, dude, like, let's not go there.
Well, here's the thing too with him. I don't think that necessarily the reptilian alien race can be ruled out. I don't think that we can rule out that if there's an alien race, right, that is on another planet somewhere, the fact that they would have reptilian characteristics can be ruled out. I don't think that can be ruled out at all. So I think that the idea, and in our research we found some alien reptilian abductions. You know, your usual standard fare is the grays. By the way, people, that's what I saw, according to Brianna. Did you? I don't remember. We literally said this last episode, but did I get abducted by aliens?
No.
She's a liar.
They walked by and they saw his green eyes and they were like, oh, he's part reptilian. Why do we want
him? He's one of us.
He's a
hybrid. One of us.
We want 100% human.
Which I'm not.
We should get into.
I'm part alien.
Wait, where are my notes? Hold on. Not those. Not those. Not
that one.
Hold on. This is like, this is totally like, fuck. Okay.
Where is all the papers?
No, so this is really cool because, like, despite, like, all of, like, the whole reptilian race and all that kind of stuff, I was kind of looking into, like, you know, like, origins and other, like, things here. So I thought this was fascinating and scientific, which was like mind blowing. So there was this paleontologist in 1982, the year we were born. Mm-hmm. His name was Dale Russell, and he wanted to do this proposal with a theory of a specific dinosaur called the Troodon.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Which, okay, let's just talk about the name. Troodon, okay? True. Okay? I hate you. Go away.
Just, truth means true. That's Don't it. Take away my burger.
Anyways. So, he noticed its evolution through the time and base on that, and they decided, like, they wanted to do, like, on his skull, like, of his evolution throughout the years or whatever.
We talking about dinosaurs?
Yeah. And when they did the, I don't even know how to say this word, extra.
Bullshit.
They, okay, so basically. Extrapolated. Yeah. When they do that, it's kind of like something they do scientifically on a computer, just when they take, like, so if they did like an evaluation of like a skull, it could be a human skull, whatever. In this case, it was a dinosaur, a prehistoric skull.
You fill in the blanks.
They took its evolution from the skulls they found, like, let's say, like 1 million years ago to, you know, like half a million years, like, to see like its evolution. So over time, when they kept doing that with this Troodon skull.
Stop it.
Once they got to the place where it was like close to where it would be, like, you know, in modern times, they found that it was like a model that resembled a reptilian humanoid skull. And they said that also because like the Troodon, you know, would stand up straight, like more like a human. So over evolution over a period of time, it would become more intelligent and look more humanoid, but still have like the scaly reptilian skin. So I feel like the parallels, like when you bring that into the equation, and then you hear the stories of like Mississippi of people seeing like this humanoid lizard man, Egypt, India, all over the fucking world, like 2,000 years ago. Like there is some truth to this, you know?
Well, I think that definitely here's the one thing about that, the dinosaur specimen, is that I think that, I hate to be this guy, but I am this guy. I hate myself. Is that?
Well, I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Are those onion rings?
That is onion rings. You can have them.
I was going to eat it no matter what.
No. Stop eating in the microphone. It's an ASMR moment. Is that?
But he can do it. Of course. But he can do it.
I can do it. Because, you know. I don't know. I can't
do it. Go ahead. Dinosaurs what?
Dino what? Dino who? Dino why? No, I think that the speculation in terms of, I think evolution.
It's changing all the time.
It's changing all the time. And I think that their natural model would, and I'm not saying that it's not something that happened, but I think their natural model would go towards humanoid, because the humanoid model, for better or worse, our planet, it is kind of where evolution was always headed, because the fact that, you know, we, and this is getting off into another tangent.
Not really.
Of course, we were destined to be the winners and evolve into people who walked on two legs and had evolved brains and that sort of stuff, because it led us to not have to rely on nature as much and develop sciences.
Survival
and
be curious. Of the fittest.
Competition. Very much so. So I think it's an interesting theory. I definitely.
And when you think about like the scientists, the paleontologists that are constantly like evaluating, and, you know, like the archaeologists that are like finding dinosaurs and stuff like that. Like, I mean, now we're like, oh, birds are relatives to the dinosaurs. Well, like back in the day, we're like, what? No. Like, and now it's like, oh yeah, we're saying that now that they had feathers, and we're now we're like, okay, like I can accept that, but like 15 years ago, I'd be like, fuck you. There's no fucking feathers on a dinosaur. So that's
Fuck
why
you. There's no
I'm
feathers on a
open, you
goddamn
know? Like,
dinosaur.
hey, science says it's possible, you know?
No, I think that here's the thing I like about David Icke. We're bouncing all over the place. And this is what happens when you encourage us to drink. Is that, you know, I think with David Icke, I think the thing I like about him is that he questions everything. He's a little rigid and like, I question everything, but my questions are the answers. Like, of course, like it could be reptilians, but it's definitely reptilians. And if you don't think it's reptilians, you're a fucking asshole. Like that's David Icke thing, is that I like him questioning all this shit, and I do like him questioning. I do like the general aspect of him questioning governments and you know, saying that, you know, government. There's nothing wrong with saying that government officials are reptilian, and cold. I don't think there's anything naturally wrong with that, and in questioning them in that
Animal-like.
animal-like, right? Reptilian, all that stuff. You know, but I don't know. Let's back up a little bit and get back into it. So 90s, he says, oh, all these things exist. The reptilians were all on multiple, were it's a multiple multi-dimensional world, and these aliens live on a different dimension. It's a little bit comic booky in that there's like multiple dimensions, like there's multiple Captain Americas, essentially. There's a human Captain America, and there's a reptilian Captain America. This is just he's a little bit Stan Lee in that aspect. But he so he thought he floats that out there, and it just it grows from there. I watched an interview where he essentially Tom Stall, please stall for me while I look up who he interviewed with. Go.
Oh, anyways, back to my
Oh no.
though no, the reason why like I tried to like for you guys, like I wanted you, 'cause I know you're gonna be like, oh, fucking lizard people, like what the
Lizard people?
fuck are you talking about?
Oh
So
no.
for me, I was like, I want to like really cover all, like I want to show you like throughout history with, like I said, like the Mayans, the Egyptians, Greek mythology, like how India, like how, like all of these, you know, religions, and this is like a society that they lived off of. They like ate, slept, and shit and breathed this culture, you know, like this is a part of them. But then, like, I also wanted to bring in, like, on a scientific level, like that, you know, this could be a possibility, because I mean, when you look at, you know, like documentation from the dinosaurs, that there is a possibility that they could be our ancestors.
So let me give you some real talk right now. I think that David Icke, I don't necessarily believe in David Icke, but I believe in the possibility of a reptilian race. And Terry Wogan, by the way, was a show where he first kind of blew up in terms of he was on all other shows and stuff like that. But that's got some notoriety because he got laughed at by the audience. I mean, I watched that video, and as a skeptic,
Wait, was that the one where he was wearing the tracksuit? So the
yeah,
nice little windbreaker.
yes, thank you.
I would fucking rock the shit out of that.
The windbreaker? Oh
That
yeah, fuck
windbreaker
it.
was fucking on
Okay,
point.
I will advocate for David Icke for a second. Turquoise is fucking rad. Turquoise is a fucking rad color. I don't give a shit how much flack I get. Turquoise is fucking rad. I don't know if I'd wear it every day, but it's a rad. So here's the thing with this whole thing is that I think that there's this strangeness in the amount of mythology in reptilian hybrids throughout time. I think that, and I think reptilian kind of it's a stand-in sometimes for us because your snakes and crocodiles, if you picture them, if you audience out there, think of a crocodile. Think of a snake.
They make you feel uneasy. They make you
Uneasy.
feel negative.
100 fucking percent. And who makes you feel uneasy? Politicians. So I think there's a natural tendency for our leaders to be labeled as snakes and the people in power to be labeled as snakes and crocodiles. And these reptilian creatures. But it is a little weird that they're throughout the mythology. So I think that to backtrack a little bit, and we're going all over the map, but I think that David Icke, although I don't necessarily believe him, because one thing is that bouncing all over the place, but one thing I believe is, and I'm fingering my hamburger right now, just in case you want to know, I'm fingering my hamburger. It's not pleasant. Luckily for anybody who's watching on the video, I'm fingering it behind the Ghostbusters car, so you don't have to, you're saved that viewing experience.
I apologize.
I'm sorry to everybody, but at least you got a mental image. I think that although I don't necessarily believe him, because I think one thing is that I think one of his major flaws is that he predicted a bunch of shit that didn't happen. He predicted Saddam Hussein would die in the early 90s. Didn't happen. He predicted a bunch of major earthquakes. It didn't happen. So I think that what he specifically represented in terms of his philosophy and his views, specific views on what constituted alien presence, was not necessarily right. But I think that what he did that was important, and I'm going to give kudos to him, is that he expanded people's minds to the possibility that there might have been reptilian influence. And I don't necessarily believe that that's a fact, but I think that's important to question.
Absolutely.
What we know. And I think that this is...
Can I touch base on
this
that?
Is a milestone. Hold on. I don't want to let this go. Let's not drop this out. This is a milestone. I said something that was a philosophical point, and maybe another point. Who knows what point. But you said... What did you say?
What, right now?
You said something.
I was going to touch...
You said exactly. Exactly.
I wanted to touch base on that subject.
We're recording right now. You can't, please. Save your touching for later.
Like, so if you've listened to our, I want to say it was episode one. And when I talk about, like, this is kind of a trip because it all comes back full circle. Like when I talked about, like, seeing the red eye, like when I was in, like, kindergarten.
Oh, the red eye and the mud pie.
So, yes, that episode.
I remember.
Now, like, and then in that same episode, this guy right there, he had asked me if, he had asked me if I think that was, like, my first introduction to extraterrestrials. And now, like, getting always being into the reptilian race, but really going, like, knee deep, really getting to the understanding, different conspiracies,
someone's
history.
Balls deep.
Now I'm like 100%. Like, oh my god! Like, what if that eye that I saw was a reptilian? Because, like I said, it was like a human eye, red eye, but it had like that small little like.
It was
line,
like Jurassic Park.
Like a reptilian, where you want to say serpent, or you want to say some kind of reptile. And so, like, which is crazy to me, because usually they're known, even like David Icke mentioned this too, that, like, they're known to be hurtful to humans. Sometimes they suck humans' blood. Why nothing happened to me when I had that experience, like, to me, like, I feel like I have, like, a guardian angel that protects me. So, like, that's my personal belief, because, like, something should have happened to me then in that experience, because it was fault that I, when I, like, went back, like, and I kind of moved it, like, it followed, like, the way that an eyeball does, you know, and it was following me, and so, I, like, now, like, talking about this, reiterating this, like, it kind of trips me out, because I feel like, oh my god, like, what if? And like they, like in India, they say they live underground. What if?
And that's the thing, is it that this is, we opened up a whole can of worms with David Icke, is that, again, getting back to kind of my point, is that I think that David Icke, I think David Icke was vastly inefficient, if not wrong, in a lot of his beliefs and carrying over a lot of into a lot of his other beliefs. And we'll get into the pandemic belief that's actually recent, that he believes that, you know, COVID-19 is a hoax and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't think we should be.
I believe it.
I don't think we should be 100% believing what the government say, but I don't think we should be 100%
conspiracy. It was man-made.
That's what this one person.
Or reptilian-made.
That's what this person believes. But I think that David Icke has a lot of, he throws a lot of shit out there. But I think that one thing that I can compliment him for is that he expands what we believe might be possible. I think that his idea of reptilian races, I think that I'm largely skeptical of it. Like, his specific beliefs about dimensional travel and hybrids and everybody being involved and, you know, the origin alien race that is feeding off of negativity, which is surprisingly, I think that Monsters, Inc. actually ripped off of David Icke. Because if you remember the plot of that, they at first they feed off of screams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now they figure out laughter. Could you imagine a world where the alien race realizes that negativity might not be the possibility, but laughter is the real source of energy, and we're all fucking laughing our asses off? Hey, Akron, Arkin, whatever you are, whatever your name is, reptiles. Hey, let's try laughter.
Well, you know what's interesting to me too?
Let's all give a giggle.
I feel like, okay, like Nikola Tesla was trying to give the world, he was trying to give the world like free energy, you know, free, like, you know, everything. And then Edison comes in and is like, no, we're going to charge these people. And so it's interesting to me where you have like that positive soul, that positive being that's extremely intelligent, that wants to help humanity. And then you got the negative asshole that just wants to make a buck off of it.
I think that David Icke nailed the fact that I think David Icke actually accidentally, I don't know if he did this on purpose, he nailed the fact that, and I don't mean to get philosophical on this podcast because we're not about that right now. Are we about that?
We're about that. Why aren't we about that?
He nailed the fact that competition has, the idea of Darwin's survival of the fittest, I think is a truth. That competition drives evolution. But the fact that we have bled competition dry, and competition is our mainstay, and competition is what causes progression and stuff like that, but competition has also left Mother Nature aside and essentially destroyed ourselves. I think that David Icke might have accidentally stumbled upon the end plot of this whole Darwin theory, that competition has. Because David, I, getting back a tad, rewinding a few seconds, David Icke was, his whole message was that, you know, that these reptilians are controlling everything, but love is the answer, and love and compassion and all is what is going to fight off this reptilian race, this hybrid race that is being controlled by this reptilian race, you know, via powers that be. I think that he might have stumbled on the fact that love and compassion and stuff like that is the way to fight off our own doom, because competition has gotten us to this point.
Well, and then when you look at like Hinduism, you know, Christianity, and when I say Christianity, I'm talking about like if Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about what the Catholics did and, you know, freaking harvest, you know, like crusade, like I'm talking about like just facts, like, you know, Jesus, love each other, respect each other, you know, Hinduism, their philosophy is the same thing, like, you know, treat either, like karma, treat if you treat somebody shitty, it comes back tenfold. So Hinduism, so it's funny that like all these philosophies like and religions are pushing to that, but then there's this other side.
I think that, yeah, exactly. I think David Icke taps into this for a lot of non-religious believers, is that maybe our saving grace in the end, because if you look at, and we're getting into current events, but if you look at the fact that this getting into current events, COVID-19 has essentially wrecked the machine of the economy. But if you look at Earth, I mean, I told you about China. Like China, the pollution rate from a satellite perspective, satellite images of pollution has always been bad. They've gotten a little better, but it's always been bad. But since this COVID-19, and of course we all know that it hit China first, pollution satellite maps of China have just in the past 3 months significantly improved.
As well as all over the world, like
All over the world. Yeah,
in
no, it's.
Italy, big time, in Venice. Like I remember when I went to Venice, the canals were like,
Oh, it was nasty.
oh, so gross. And then even in the summertime, the sewage smell and all that. And now, like, you can actually see reptilians. You can see alligators like swimming through the canals. You could see beautiful swans. Like, I mean, Mother Nature is just manifesting right now, like all over the world. And it sucks because, like, as much as we love that beauty and we're just so happy that we have that, although they're on the flip side, people are dying. So it's like you have both, and it's this teeter-totter of like happiness and beauty and Mother Nature restoring itself. And what do they say, the ozone layer is
Patching up essentially. Yeah, I think that I and silver linings, we don't want anybody to die from any complications of COVID-19, but I think the silver lining is that one, there's a few. It's again Chris numbering out things. I think that one, it's causing the environment to bounce back for the ever so brief moment. I think two is that they realize it's shifted priorities in that, everybody knows that the economy is going to take a little tank, at least in the US and other impacted nations, but it's worth it. We're all quarantining because it's worth those human lives. And even though we're
Hopefully,
losing
we're
lives,
all doing it.
hopefully we're all doing it. And even though it's causing human, a lot of troubles and a lot of hardships, it's worth it. Human life is worth it. And then I think also it's causing us to reassess what's important to us. And for me perspectively, I was a guy who insight who did not work did not lack for work other than vacation or sick time, which wasn't very much, for more than 3 days, and this is causing me to be like, spoiler alert, if this is your first episode, I probably not, but if it is your first episode, I've been furloughed, which is a temporary layoff, but it's caused me to realize how important, but it's re perspective, we put things back into perspective for me personally. But yeah, I don't know.
I feel like it's been such a like eye opener for both of us, like becoming teachers, mentors. I mean, where we already were mentors to our daughter, obviously. But you've been doing such a beautiful job,
Stop
helping
it.
teach our child. Like, and this is something, we've talked about before that, like, 20 years from now, you look back on and remember, and being part of her education and the system, like, this is really going to be, you can say you were part of that because you really have been. Like, he has way more patience than I do. It's funny because, like, doing hair, you have to have patience for. There's a lot of people that don't. But teaching a 6-year-old, like, math, like, for me, I just, and
Mother
reading.
Teresa level.
And I feel like for me too, like, school is always very hard for me. Like, so I'm very, like, hard on my daughter. I feel like, I don't know, it's this weird mentality, and I know it's wrong, that if I'm hard on her now, it'll be easier for her later. And that's not the right mentality for me to have. And so I feel like letting my husband step in now that he has the opportunity and the time to, like, is so beneficial for her, because, like, you know, his father was a teacher. It's genetic. It's in his blood. So, you know, I'm the science and art teacher. You know, I, like, do all the cool experiment and fun things with her, because that's, like, my outlet, and I'll get really into it. But I'm too hard on her when it comes to, like, everything else, because I just don't want her. I know this is going to sound like, oh, woe is me. I don't want her to end up like me in school. And it's just my stigma that I have. So I'm thankful. I have to say I'm thankful for the situation, even though it's scary as fuck not having an income. But I'm thankful that you're able to do that for her.
I appreciate it. I think that might be the lesson of David Icke, is that I think, circling back, I think that, again, I think that most of his stuff, for me personally, is malarkey. I believe in the existence of aliens. I believe that they're possibly reptilian. That makes sense from a, it could be that way. There's been multiple sightings of reptilians from 1967 in Nebraska, is our first case of that. But I think the lesson of David Icke is not necessarily his specific beliefs, because I think that he made some predictions that went wrong, in terms of they didn't come to fruition. I think that his basing it off of his premonitions and him seeing God is pseudo-religious, and that creates complications in my head in terms of a lack of evidence. But I think that the lesson of David Icke is that, one, we should explore possibilities, and we should, and I don't know if he did this on purpose, but accidentally maybe, that is that all our philosophers and our scientists today are just hypothesizing. They don't know exactly what happens. And people, you know, when the earth was flat, people hypothesized that the earth was round. Came with the hypotheses that the earth was round, and they were shunned. So I don't think that, I think that the point part of David Icke is that, you know, we shouldn't necessarily, you know, throw aside every theory as it is. And I think the second important thing for David Icke, and the part that resonates with me, is that the lack of innate trust in our politicians, that they, despite the fact that they might not be reptilians by blood, sometimes, and not always, and we have good politicians, sometimes our politicians are reptilian by nature. And that's important. It's to metaphorically, whether you believe in David Icke or not, is to always see them as part snake. And that's not, might not be fair to our politicians and our people in power, but to always see them as part reptilian, to question what they do, to always see the other side of what we see as reptilian, cold-blooded, methodical, a machine, always out for the energy of what is necessary, just like the reptilian race. I think that's important. I think it's David Icke stumbled on something. Yeah, so I think it's David Icke stumbled on something great. I don't know if he came to that on purpose, and I think that David Icke probably is probably a multi-episode kind of guy. But yeah, I think that I like David Icke. I think that ultimately, I think he's might be wrong, not in the fact that there are reptilian aliens, but I think that in his precise theory of the case, and I think that anybody comes to a vision like that, I think you have to be skeptical of them automatically. But yeah, I think that he stumbled on some great points. What are your thoughts? We're gonna closing out on this kind of David Icke or origin episode, we're probably going to, again, it's going to be a multi-episode, but what are your...
Like I said, I don't think, you know, everything you said is accurate.
Whoa! But
I don't I don't think everything you say is accurate. I don't think everything I say is accurate. I don't think anything that...
Homie saw it on the premonition, though. He saw it on premonition.
But at the end of the day, like I said, if you take anything away from it, take away the positivity, like just from this podcast, take away the positivity. Anything in life, just try to stay positive. It's really, really hard. But that's been like after like, you know, listening to him and just like hearing him speak and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, if I'm hypothetically thinking that there is like this reptilian race, like I want to fight against them. I want to be more fucking more positive on top of that just to fucking show them that, no, like you don't control us. Like, we're not going to give you our fucking positive energy, whatever the fuck that means. Like, that's gonna fucking keep your fucking planet up and running from our energy. Like, fuck that. So I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, just take away the positivity and, you know, like I said, scientifically, you know, just think of the fact of,
I don't think there's much scientific.
Are dinosaurs really extinct, or are we their ancestors?
I think with David, and sorry, not to open back up the can of worms, I don't think you can think of David scientifically. I think you either believe him or you don't.
No, no, no. I'm talking about dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
No, we're talking about... I'm talking about dinosaurs? Us being ancestors. Because, you know, like I said, I wanted to cover all bases.
This is a multi... This is me.
Like, you all know that, like, when I'm trying to prove that point of especially making him believe in extraterrestrials and stuff like that, like, I feel like, eat that burger, boy. I feel like I have to, I can't going just be like, oh, well, David Icke said, and no, I'm going to show you in ancient history, you know, go around the world, all the our ancient ancestors, they all believed in some kind of weird being that had some kind of depiction of like some kind of serpent head, whatever. So, you know, there's that. And then there's like the science of like if we are some kind of like, you know, evolution of like a dinosaur. I think it's pretty cool and I'm open to it and it's pretty fucking badass.
We've opened up a can of worms, and I think that I would like to hear everybody's thoughts on it, whether you think that I've always seen reptiles at the door, essentially, you know, one of the major theories of Chris is that snakes have always been a big internal kind of primal fear of humans, and we've always seen reptiles in our humans. Or whether you believe more into Brianna's theory, which I also espouse some of, in that, you know, there's been more reptile blood in our DNA and throughout history than we'd like to admit. We'd like to hear from you. You could reach out, Extra Normal Podcast on Instagram is a good tag to get us at. That's our Instagram page. You can find us at Extra Normal P. It was an accidental tag, but I like it in Twitter. Again, we talked about coincidences today. So Extra Normal P on Twitter, Extra Normal Podcast on Instagram. You can find us on Extra Normal Podcast @gmail.com. Brianna, you want to give any other shout outs where we can find you, all that good stuff? Do you want to slang your merch? That's pretty cool, and there's a lot of alien affiliated stuff.
All I have to say is that I'm wearing teal, and was that a coincidence? It might not have been. So yeah,
you're also wearing black, which is apparently like evil. No, it's a mixed bag with you. Sorry.
Whatever. Yeah, my merch is at _thedollhousesparkles_, I think. Is it? I don't know.
Look it up on
Dark. I'm sure it's on Extra Normal Podcast.
We'll tag it.
Somewhere. Whatever. It's fun shit, you know. We're not getting paid right now, so you know, my stuff's pretty cheap, so go buy some shit so we like can feed our child.
Whatever. Extra Normal. Whatever. What'd you say? Whatever, we're not getting paid for this shit. I love it. But we love it. We're passionate about it. This has been a blast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate all who listen. We appreciate all you who are in the debate column. I love, as a natural kind of skeptic side of it, I love people who believe in this stuff because it's, again, it's an inquisitive mind. It's people who are looking for outside stuff. And I'm sure you love people
guys,
who...
If you guys want to, like, talk about more stuff, because I know, like, I opened up a can of worms with... our last podcast when we were talking about a couple podcasts ago about Queen Mary.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, people were really into it. So like I just, you know, yeah, if you've had
whatever it
experiences,
is,
like hit us up because I'm into it.
If you had experiences, if you think it's all bullshit, I want to hear from it. I love both sides of it. I love the debate. That's what we're here for, is the debate and the intrigue and all that stuff. My name is Chris. This is Brianna, and we appreciate you listening.
Stay awkward.
Stay awkward. We always be friends of aliens.